This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome to episode 264 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by the soggy Marcus Couch. And I only say that because California has been getting a deluge of rain lately. Marcus, what's up, my main man?
We live in a vegetation jungle right now. That's actually what Southern California is. Before long, we'll have mosquitoes, too.
Oh, man, that's what a sharp contrast to 2 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
Unbelievable. Actually, here, we've been enjoying some really good weather here in February. I mean, the other day it was like 62 degrees here. So,
well, here's the irony. All the rain that we got replenished the water supplies, but it also washed away about a foot and a half of sand off the beach.
Ah, I saw those pictures.
Yeah, so we've now entered a sand shortage in Southern California. So
instead of water, right, you now have a sand drought.
Right, right.
And last time I checked, it doesn't rain sand, so I don't know what you're going to do about that.
Nope.
Oh, boy. So we got a pretty cool show lined up for you all today. We're going to go over some headlines, and for the first time in a long time, we're going to introduce a new segment to the show, at least specifically to shows where we have some time to go over more than where we don't have a guest. We're just going over headlines and stuff like that. So we'll get into that a little later in the show.
Yeah, what was the last new segment we put? I think it's Plugin Picks of the Week was the last new segment.
It might have been. It's probably – Yeah, I would guess that's the last new segment we've had on the show.
All right. Well, growth. We're bringing something new to you this week. And every week that we don't have a guest.
I'm pretty sure all the episodes that you're not hosting do not have Plugin Picks of the Week. So,
well, I should hope not.
I'm pretty sure about that. Speaking of headlines, I want to start off with this post that Mika Epstein wrote. She is, of course, part of the volunteer plugin review moderation team, and it seems like within the past few weeks, she gets at least one mention on the show, but that's okay. But she wrote a pretty cool post called A Case for the REST API. So past couple of weeks, we've been talking and mentioning about a security vulnerability that was with the REST API in 4.7 and 4.71, where any authenticated user could modify the content of any post or page on a site. That was a big vulnerability in WordPress. Actually, they silently patched it, and then a week later disclosed information that they had patched this type of vulnerability. And there's been a lot of discussion in terms of, well, maybe the REST API should be disabled by default, and all these other justifications and reasons around the REST API. And basically what Mika's done in her post is reminded us about what happened with XMLRPC, which is kind of a sort of a similar technology that was added to WordPress all these years ago. And it had a sort of similar security vulnerability when it was introduced to WordPress. The REST API is new code. We don't know all of its use cases. It hasn't had a lot of time to mature and simmer, and so there hasn't been as many eyeballs on it as, let's say, XMLRPC, which has had almost a decade's worth of eyeballs using it and developers building on top of it. So she believes that the REST API should not be disabled by default and you shouldn't disable it unless you're certain that you're never going to use it. And of course, anytime there's a security vulnerability, WordPress is generally quick to patch it with automatic updates. As long as you have them enabled, you should update immediately, thereby pretty much decreasing or almost eliminating the possibility of getting hacked through the API. So moral of the story is the REST API is new. There's probably other security vulnerabilities of varying severity within the code, but as developers build on top of it and really get into the nitty-gritty of it, These things will be surfaced. A lot of eyeballs will go through the code, and within probably a few years, the REST API will probably be rock solid, and we won't be discussing security vulnerabilities related to the API as much as we've been doing the past couple of weeks. And I think her post pretty much put things back into perspective, at least for me.
Well, here's my feeling on it. We've already got something that allows us to turn off and on a functionality within WordPress with just one check. And that's if you want to have websites index your site so you can set that privacy mode, right? Mm-hmm. I think that much like that, there are plugins like Yoast SEO and those things that can see the status of that checkbox and say, hey, did you know that you're on private mode right now? So the REST API needs to have the same thing. We need to have just a little tick box that we can check maybe within the settings that says, I don't want the REST API. And if there are plugins or themes or something that developers make that calls for the REST API, they can check that, look at that status and say, hey, we need the REST API for this plugin. Do you want to uncheck that? That's what needs to happen. Simple solution.
Well, I think that's valid feedback. It's a valid argument. And then that way, if people turn it off, I mean, so what if we do have that in a new WordPress install? Is the box checked on or off by default? Because the argument was it should be turned off by default.
Well, it should be able to be turned off easily without me having to install any plugins.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, because I don't think there's a way to easily turn off XMR RPC without a plugin. Well, I know a lot of security plugins have an option where you could turn it off.
Yeah, I just think that that's the safest, easiest way to do it. Because there are sites that I have that I'll never use the REST API on. There are client sites that I've made that are never going to call for the REST API. They're just basic business sites. They don't need it. It's just an online brochure. No need for the REST API. No need for that vulnerability to be rearing its ugly head within the installation.
So there you have it. I don't know. Maybe when it's all said and done, maybe this is how it all works out. I'm not sure. I mean, but that's definitely a proposed solution worth considering.
All right. Where do I submit that?
Into the suggestion box with all the other.
All right. I just did. Listen to the show, developers. That's your problem. You don't listen enough.
All right. So BuddyPress 2.8 has been released. In fact, just before we went on the air, there was a maintenance release pushed out. So BuddyPress 2.8.1 is actually the latest one that's available, and it's just a simple maintenance release, fixes a couple bugs. However, BuddyPress 2.8 is a major feature release, and it's named San Mateo, and it was led by longtime BuddyPress contributor Slava Abakovmov. Jeez, me and his names. Yeah, thank you. And the release was named for San Mateo Panuozzo, man, these names, which is a New York City pizza restaurant. Sorry if I butchered that name.
That's a restaurant name? What is it again?
Panuozzo? Panuozzo. Well, we can make a sound bite after this. So what it is actually a portable pizza sandwich hybrid is what this Panuozzo is. I've never heard of it before, but there you go. You learned something new in every BuddyPress release. So this release,
if you're making extra plugins for BuddyPress, here's a branding tip for you. If you have an add-on for BuddyPress, start naming it after pizza ingredients.
Oh, okay.
Like mushroom, you know, that does something, and pepperoni.
Yeah, why not?
Pineapple.
You can have BuddyPress as your base and then your ingredients are your plugins, huh?
That's it. Okay, continue. Sorry.
BuddyPress Pizza. So the plugin code base has been modernized. The minimum PHP requirements have been boosted up to 5.3. You're in BuddyPress version 2.7 plus, the plugin will display a notice in the dashboard if it detects that the server does not meet the minimum requirements for 2.8. according to the stats that have been collected, only 5.7% of WordPress sites are running on PHP 5.2. So there should be a very small amount of people that see that notice. This release also adds a companion style sheet for the 2017 default theme, and that comes with WordPress. And taking a look at the screenshot here, what this does is out of the box, if you use BuddyPress with the 2017 default theme, BuddyPress actually looks pretty nice because of the companion style sheet. And I'm kind of jealous as to how nice it looks, and I just, you know, it'd be cool if it looked that nice in most themes out there, but in my experience, it doesn't. Usually it requires quite a bit of tinkering and CSS changes to get BuddyPress to sort of blend in to the site or theme that you're using. There's also some improvements to the Activate Pending Accounts screen. So this makes it easier for site managers to confirm or reject new registrants. There's also a couple things for developers, such as new filters and actions. There's support for a list or unsubscribe header in emails, for flexible group search, and all kinds of other goodies. This release was made possible by 44 volunteer contributors. Thank you all very much for contributing to BuddyPress. And, yes, of course, you can find information about this and for a more detailed review, the changelog, just check out the show notes. They'll be published on wptavern.com. So with that, Discuss is a commenting service. So you sign up for their commenting service. They give you some embed code, or there's a plugin that ties into WordPress, and you pretty much use Discuss to handle, replace the WordPress native commenting system. Well, they've actually started pushing advertisements on people's sites without them being notified about it. At least quite a few users weren't notified about this. So in the comment sections of your sites, if you're using Discuss and you're, a highly trafficked site, I think is what they're aiming for, you'll start to see ads. Apparently, some of the people say that they can only remove the ads if they pay them about $10 a month. However, and this is kind of the screwed up part about this, is that Discuss doesn't yet have the option available on their website for people to give them money to pay to have the ads removed. In fact, they don't plan on having that feature for at least a couple more months. So that's kind of a backwards way of launching ads onto the comments. And to top it off, the ads are horrible. So usually if you look on news websites, you'll see the ads at the bottom by Taboola, I think, is a big one, where you see these weird and crazy ads for weight loss and some of this other stuff.
Well, here's what I want to know. How do I pay to be on that network?
On which network?
To be part of that advertisement. How can I advertise on those?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. Okay. It says Reveal Advertising Program, which is actually, and this is reported by Sarah Gooney, but apparently their advertising program is notorious for serving low-quality ads. And based on the screenshots of some of the examples I've seen, they are pretty terrible ads that are not at all relevant to the content of both the post and the comments themselves. So you probably don't want to be on that ad network.
Maybe it's dirt cheap.
So if you're using Discuss and you start getting ads, you're just going to have to sort of deal with it until they actually add the mechanism in place so that you can purchase the ability to remove them. And, you know, this isn't the first time Discuss has pushed out changes like this without informing their audience. I know back in 2014, this is when the service sort of started experimenting with advertising in the form of sponsor comments, and that received some harsh criticism from people in the audience, from Discuss users, and even WordPress co-founder Matt Mullewag. And in fact, Discuss actually discontinued the sponsor comments program, and they erased the announcement post about the feature from its site. So other than our coverage of it and some of the people who criticized it, they kind of wanted to erase that blip from the company's history. So this has generated quite a bit of discussion here on the Tavern. The Discuss Comment System plugin has actually been hovering around 200,000 active installs for the past 2 years. Its ratings continue to plummet. This isn't going to help matters in that department with the advertising. And there's plenty of people here who offer suggestions on things that they're using, such as Livefire or plugins that enhance the native commenting native comment function of WordPress. And I know on the Tavern we actually use Postmatic and another, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but another plugin that it doesn't replace the commenting section, but it really enhances the functionality of what native comments provide. And there's some other, there's some stuff going on in the background, and it's a pretty neat and cool system. I advise you to check it out, Postmatic. In fact, however many episodes ago, we actually had the founder of Postmatic on our show. So I invite you to go back and take a listen to that. But yeah, not too many people on. Happy about Disqus.
We should get them back on from Postmatic and see, because it's been a while and they've had a lot of new features.
Wow, that's I don't know if anyone noticed, but Marcus's voice sounds like he's, it's not a robot, but it sounds like you're on a program, you're trying to be anonymized.
What? Really?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, your voice, it's weird. Your voice is all the tone is messed up. So I'll let you disconnect, reconnect, and when it comes to Disqus and these. Hey, by the way, I'll throw this out there. Does anybody remember a service called Intense Debate? It was a comment service created by Automatic back, I want to say 7, 8, 9 years ago, somewhere in that range. But Automatic got into the hosted comment service game, and they were doing some really cool, innovative things where they were creating this an actual plugin system, plugin ecosystem around their hosted comment solution. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it was just priorities or whatnot, but it's sort of stagnated. There's actually quite a few sites out there, I think 100,000 or at least a couple thousand, tens of thousands of sites that still use Intense Debate. The service is still operating, but there's been no movement development on the development front for some time. But all these hosted comment solutions, they all seem to struggle one way or another when it comes to making money. There seems to be no proven revenue strategy except for just outright charging people for maybe the number of comments that is generated on their site. So I don't know what the answer is for
maybe that's the only model there is.
Oh, maybe that it. Maybe that's it.
Do I sound weird again?
No, they were just outright charged for the comment service to begin with.
Why not? It works just fine. I mean, what business are you supposed to be in? The business of providing great service of what that is meant to be, yeah. Or all this extra crap on the side? What is it you're in business for? What's the product?
Just the comments.
That's right. why muddy the pool?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, there you have it. If you don't like ads in your comments, you might want to switch over from Disqus to something else.
So this brings up an interesting point, and let's get in the Back to the Future DeLorean, and let's go up and let's go into the future 2 or 3 years. All of you guys that have Facebook comments,
ooh,
it's coming. You're gonna get Facebook ads.
Yeah, one way or another.
All it takes is one guy to hear WordPress Weekly that works at Facebook and just march into the room and go, Zuck, I got it. Listen, all the comments that we display, let's start putting ads in the comments.
We don't know this for sure, but that's got to be something on the roadmap for Facebook comments. Yeah, you know, that had to have been discussed at some point.
Oh, if it hasn't, it's coming. So...
that's the natural progression of everything. Eventually, advertise.
Absolutely. in every tentacle, in everything. What's to say that down the road, not too far in the future, where you see all these sites that say log in with Facebook, you don't get some splash ad or video that you have to watch for 30 seconds before it actually logs you into the site through Facebook.
Oh, for crying out loud. I hate that future.
It's coming.
Unfortunately, it's coming. So I wanted to send a happy birthday out. Well, in fact, I want to talk about one more story.
Okay.
Before we get on to the birthday thing. We wrote a story on the Tavern about why sometimes plugins disappear. We talked about it on the show. There are a number of reasons for why they disappear. But, you know, if you're a user to one of these plugins, how do you know if the plugin no longer exists on a directory and that you're no longer going to receive updates or you can't install it on a different client site that you're working on? Well, one of our readers shared a link with us to a plugin called No Longer in Directory, and it's developed by Whitefur Design. And what this plugin does is it adds a page to the WordPress backend and informs users if any of the plugins that they have installed are available in the plugin directory. And in a separate list down below, it tells you which installed plugins that haven't been updated in 2 years or more. So if your plugin is on that list, you may want to consider looking for an alternative, because it's obvious that the development of that plugin has either ceased or, you know, there's not too much activity going around that plugin. So it's a pretty neat plugin, something that it's pretty cool so far. It's actively installed on more than about 1,000 sites. It's got about 6 reviews, 4.8 out of 5 star rating, and this is something that in one way or another may become kind of like a core feature or possibly the WordPress plugin directory. Once it migrates from BBPress to WordPress, maybe there's a way where they can create different flags for plugins, and using a plugin like this, or maybe a core feature, would be able to detect these flags in the plugin directory and inform users when a certain plugin has disappeared, it's gone, or provide some sort of notice to where users could search for an alternative or just be in the know. So I thought that was an interesting plugin.
How often does that happen?
And as far as a plugin permanently disappearing, or
I want to know, well, what's the frequency? Like, are there like 5 a day that leave? I mean, I don't know. It seems
I don't know the data.
I mean, come on. There's still MySpace plugins on the stupid repository.
Yeah, like when I did this.
The stupid repository. That's what I call the old stuff.
You know, when I tested the plugin on our test site, I came up with 6 different plugins that haven't been updated in 2 years or more. However, they work. I mean, I know WordPress. I know my way around well enough to know that they work. I can access them from the direct URL. They do just fine. They're compatible with WordPress. I don't have any clue about their security ramifications about it, but they work. And so I continue to use them. However, I just thought it was neat that at a glance with this plugin, I was able to see without having to check each one individually, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how many different plugins I have installed that haven't been updated in 2 years or more.
Well, I have plugins that I've made myself and developed myself through the help of, you know, some outsourced people that I created 8 years ago that still work perfectly to this day. So sometimes there's just good code that doesn't need all that other stuff. And as long as the basis of WordPress doesn't change, then neither will the plugin. People tend to forget that WordPress is not their iPhone. You don't need to update every app every 2 days like the iPhone seems to do. Sometimes if plugins work great, they work great. Sometimes they get great support and they get a lot of updates and new features. And sometimes the features that the plugin is designed for does enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quite a few plugins that do that.
Right.
And I wanted to send out a happy birthday to Discourse, which turned 4 years old back on February 6th. And for those who don't know, Discourse is a open source sort of forum software project It's something really cool. If you want to actually check it out, see it in action, visit WPChat.com.
Yes.
They're actually using Discourse to power their community. And according to this post, there's been one official non-beta release of Discourse in the past 4 years, 7 total releases. They have 600 hosted customers, 8,000 public installations of Discourse on the internet. And then they go over just some large numbers about commits, contributors, different topics. And they've also added 2 new team members to bring up their team member total from 9 to 11. And one of the cool things about what's going on over at Discourse is they're hiring from within. So they've got these different programs set up to where they'll pay people to work on small parts of the core or to fix things. And if you prove your worth over a certain amount of time, it's likely that they'll reach out to you and possibly hire you on to be on the team full time. So they've got this pretty cool cycle going on of bringing people from the outside, being able to pay them, and it's kind of like a little internship for you. And then if things work out, if they're interested in to see you continue your work with the project, they'll hire you on full time. And I've had my eye on Discourse. I love the way it's interactive features, and the way it presents sort of a new take on this the forum that's been around for decades on the internet in terms of messaging and discussions that take place online. And I was just if you go to the Discourse blog, the Discourse blog is actually powered by WordPress. But if you look down at the bottom, you'll see comments. And then you realize that if you want to comment on the article, you have to actually visit the forum side of the site. So I think it's really slick how they've been able to integrate the ability of comments in a forum so that you can also you could comment on that post on the forum. You know, the comments are sort of integrated into one system, but you also still have the forum where you can go off and have discussions about everything else as well. It's just a really cool implementation. I invite everybody, our listeners, to check it out if you have not done so already. And there is a plugin that do integration between that does user integration between WordPress and Discourse, kind of acts like a bridge. And I'm pretty sure that's what they're using here on the actual Discourse site. So it's kind of cool to see that in action. And I'll just say, hey, BB Press, what's up? Yeah, just throw that out there.
Well, here's the problem is I want to use Discord. I can do this with plugins, and I've even talked about plugins here on the show that do this. Integrating BuddyPress with Discourse, and not just BuddyPress, but users in general, so that I can take a membership site user and use Discourse as sort of groups. Maybe a group based on each course or something like that that ties in private to that just specific group. So there needs to be a heck of a lot more WordPress interaction that happens. And I may be missing something, but that's what seems to be a huge hole with Discourse is WordPress integration. Because if they could build that bridge, then you're right. BB Press is toast.
Well, I mean, I believe they have the bridge already, so that you know, as users sign up to Discourse, or is it WordPress, users sign up to one or the other. I mean, I would have to look into it more, but I know there's an official bridge between Discourse and WordPress.
Let's get somebody from Discourse on this show. Let's talk about
I was just thinking about that today.
Let's do it.
So I'd love to get Jeff Atwood, the founder of Discourse, on the show. I think that'd be a pretty cool episode.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So that wraps it up for some of the headlines, and that leaves us with an opportunity to introduce a new segment to the show.
Yes, drum roll. Okay, so we're going to do something every time that we have just a regular show with no guests, and we're going to call it What's on WordPress.tv. And we talk about WordPress.tv all the time, and that's an all-volunteer thing that is a video archive of things that happened throughout the WordPress community. You and I participated in an interview with John Parkinson, and that went over really well. I thought the interview was really good. And so we're going to feature what you can see on WordPress.tv, and we're going to do it. It's not really plug-in picks of the week, but kind of. So I'll start it off, Jeff, and then you can read the next one. This is one from Andrew De La Serna, and he presented a talk on how we work in automatic. So he's an automatician, and this is presented from WordCamp Manila in 2016. So that was the very first WordCamp in the Philippines. And to have somebody that lives and works in the Philippines talking about what it's like to work for automatic, I thought that that would be really great to bring to light here in the show. And they talk about he talks about the tools that he uses, the culture of automatic, the people, and how to apply to be an automatician and some of the future things that are coming up.
Yeah, automatic is always hiring, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat company. But yeah, I mean, that's right there. What you said is the difference in this presentation is it's someone who lives and works in the Philippines versus, let's say, here in the States. So maybe being a remote worker in the Philippines is completely different to being a remote worker here in the U.S.
Yeah. So it's very interesting.
So we have Ryan Irwin, who did a presentation at WordCamp Waukesha in Wisconsin, 2017. So it wasn't that long ago. On digital marketing strategy and SEO. So he discusses how it relates to on and off page SEO, content marketing, conversion optimization, and he also reviews how to plan, implement, and analyze your strategic initiatives. And Ryan Irwin's a pretty smart guy. I met him at WordCamp Chicago last year, and he really knows his stuff.
Beautiful. And then finally, there is something that, as I mentioned, you and I participated in this, the WordPress community interview series. And they did an interview with Isabel Garcia. She's a front-end web developer and big into social media. She calls herself the digital nomad, and she actually travels the world working remotely. She has no fixed base, no office. And her big thing is she likes to frequent local libraries just to take advantage of the quiet atmosphere to work. And that's something a lot of people forget about. You can just go to the local library in some town and sit down in a nice quiet space for free.
What's a library?
Yeah, you don't even have to order coffee. In fact, I don't even think they'd let you bring it in. But basically, she just kind of goes over her routine and some of the things that she does. So those three, that rounds out the segment of What's on WordPress.tv.
And we have links to all three of those video presentations in the show notes on WPTavern.com. So we haven't really dived into or shared some upcoming events as of late. So I went to WordCamp Central today and figured that with March on the horizon, in fact, March 1st is next Wednesday. So already. We're going into March. Here's a list of WordCamps that are happening in March that pretty much all of them, I believe, still have tickets available for sale outside of possibly WordCamp Miami. I'm not sure. But there's WordCamp Alicante, Spain, March 4th. Lancaster, Pennsylvania is also on March 4th. Auckland, New Zealand, March 11th through the 12th. WordCamp London, UK is on March 17th through the 19th. Bordeaux, France, March 18th. Atlanta, Georgia, March 18th through the 19th. WordCamp St. Louis is also on March 18th. WordCamp Miami is near the end of March during the 24th through the 26th. WordCamp Mumbai, India, March 25th through the 26th. And WordCamp San Diego, California, March 25th through the 26th. Quite a few headliners in that list of WordCamps for March, specifically Miami and San Diego. San Diego has a history of being a great WordCamp event to go to.
Yeah, I went last year. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go this year because I have a different event that I'm going to be attending. But I've seen some of the tweets coming out of Adam Silver and some of the other organizers and speakers for WordCamp San Diego. It looks pretty good.
And by the way, if you want to see dates for an upcoming WordCamp or just want to know what's coming up or possible WordCamps, visit central.wordcamp.org. Click on the schedule up at the top on the menu. And it's pretty cool. There's a little map icon that shows you different places where there are WordCamps actually happening and WordCamps that are sort of in the planning stages. And with that, I guess the only thing left for us to do is your plug and picks of the week.
All right, here we go. First one is called Really Simple Click to Call Bar. And what this does is if you have a site that's being viewed on a mobile device, it adds a small little bar to the bottom of the browser window. And it just with one click gives you a click to call. Now, yes, you can do this with links on your site as well. So why would you use something like this? Well, one of the big reasons is it automatically adds events if you're using Google Analytics Universal. And that lets you track what page they were on, how they found you, all of that into your call. So you can see how many calls came in through your mobile device. And so if you do advertising or Facebook or anything like that, this will let you do that on a landing page. So all of you out there that are developers or designers or have clients that are, you know, small businesses or retail stores or anybody that's relying on lead generation, this is a great plugin to install because then it gives you a sense of analytics as well. So it's called Really Simple Click to Call Bar. The next one I think is neglected in WordPress lately, and that's HTML tables. Yes, we do still use them very frequently. And sometimes they just really help, even from a responsive end. And this is called Responsive Tables, and it lets you create and display tables very quickly. And it does things like rows, columns, all of that really simply in HTML. You can use it for displaying pricing, comparisons, any kind of table need. This is a really great plugin to use. It's called Responsive Tables. And finally, this one's pretty cool. And if you wanted to, you could use this for stage site or anything you want to use. It's called WP Demo Buddy. And it creates a dedicated expiring demo or trial instance that contains a specific plugin or theme. So if you wanted to have somebody test drive a plugin or test drive a theme before they buy it, this is a demo that you can see the front and the back end and let people test drive it right on the WordPress site. So if you've ever wondered how they do that on ThemeForest or Code Canyon or any of those things, this will allow you to do that. It's called WP Demo Buddy. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Kind of like the name of that one, WP Demo Buddy.
No, that's right.
It's your little dedicated expiring demo trial buddy. Take with you.
Right.
All right. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-0. Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
All right. We don't have a guest next week, but that could change.
No, we do. Stay tuned. We do. We do have a guest.
Who was it?
Matt Medeiros.
Oh, sorry. Okay. We do have a guest next week. We have on Matt Medeiros. We're going to do some Medeirosing.
That's right.
On the show.
He might even get presented with a Friend of the Show award. Who knows?
Yes, he's been on a couple times before. All right, so we'll have him on here. You know, I'm interested to hear his thoughts on the editor experience. I know that he's got a pretty cool plugin in Conductor and sort of has a vested interest in the sort of front-end visual editor way of content, producing content. So I'm looking forward to hear his thoughts on that and some of the other stuff that we have planned for him. So look forward to that next Wednesday afternoon. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. And so long, everybody.